Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning, folks. I've got a great show lined up for you today. In the 12 o'clock hour, we'll visit with Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics, about a survey that he conducted. It was paid for by the Jefferson Parish Business Council, and the chairman of the board there, Philip Rebo, will join as well as we talk about the results of this quality of life survey that was conducted in Jefferson Parish. In the 11 o'clock hour, as we do every Tuesday, we have the NOLA Coalition, and we bring on folks that are involved in programs that are working in the trenches day in and day out, trying to make a difference in our community. You know that I have identified this as a defining moment. This collaborative effort is incredibly important to moving this city forward, and that's why we feel like it's necessary for us to highlight the incredible work that a number of not-for-profit organizations are doing in the streets. These folks are difference makers, and it's been very rewarding for me. Hopefully you've enjoyed it, and we'll have Aaron Jordan from the Greater New Orleans East Business Alliance about a youth entrepreneur workshop program that they're conducting over the summer, and we'll talk about that and implications of same. A lot of folks forget that there's a great university right there in Hammond, Southeastern Louisiana University. I have a ton of friends that actually attended there, and all of which speak very highly of their experience there over the years, and I know it means a lot to the Hammond area and to the state of Louisiana, quite frankly. Recently, they've named a new head of that organization, a new president. His name is Dr. William S. Wainwright, and he joins us on day two of his tenure. Doc, welcome to the show and congratulations.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Doc, a lot of folks don't realize just how much that university means to that area of the state of Louisiana, and even broader than that area. If you could, for a moment, just give us a little bit of the demographic of the university to start off with.
Absolutely. We are located in the heart of the North Shore in Hammond, Louisiana, and in 2025, we celebrate our centennial. As you led in, you began to talk about the amount of alumni and friends you know who've experienced Southeastern, and that has created a very rich opportunity for supporting entrepreneurs, CEOs of business and industry, and also really creating a great depth of cultural and economic growth here on the North Shore. So we have our main campus located here in Hammond, and of course we have a location at the Livingston Literacy Center, another location in Baton Rouge, serving our nursing and health sciences program, and then of course we have our research sites and locations scattered throughout Southeast Louisiana, one of them being our Turtle Cove project. So, you know, there's so much to offer here in our community. We do a lot of research and through our sponsored programs that benefits our community and our economy.
And you bring to this job an interesting background. Your most recent tenure was at North Shore Technical Community College. How does that work, and how do you view that, and what strengths from there will you be bringing to Southeastern?
I think it positions Southeastern for an incredible opportunity. And not only North Shore, but if you look at the community colleges located in the Southeast Louisiana region, one of the fundamental goals of their mission is transfer. And it's in one of the strengths I can bring certainly to Southeastern is working closely with my colleagues to identify those students who are transfer ready and ensure that not only are they transferring to what I consider one of the greatest universities here in Louisiana, but that when they make that transfer, that they have a goal, they have a selected major, that it's very intentional to ensure their access, their speed to completion, and most importantly, you know, their success upon graduation. So transfer, I think, is one element. Also, through my work with GNO Inc., through our local economic development corporations, whether it's Tangipahoa or St. Tammany and Livingston, you know, serving as president of the Board of Commissioners of St. Tammany Corporation, I've got a close eye on economic development, serving our existing industries, but most importantly, you know, identifying new and emerging industries and talent. If you look at the role of higher education today, in many cases, we prepare students for jobs in many cases that do not exist yet because it's such a dynamic industry and environment, especially post-COVID. And so when you look at what we offer and how we offer it, I think that's another opportunity for Southeastern to meet our students where they are and help them achieve their personal goal attainment.
I actually love that experience set that you bring. One of the criticisms of higher ed is that we're kind of not as much worried as maybe we once were postgraduate work. You know, once we move out into the job field and we're looking for a job and we're working and connecting up what we're teaching in school as to what's going to actually happen out there in life, that there seems to be a disconnect. And a lot of kids leave with a degree that they may not be able to market very well.
Right. Our mission is our greatest strength. And when you hone in on the mission of Southeastern, it directly correlates to engagement within the institution and certainly engagement outside of the institution. When we're able to, you know, bring in opportunities, for example, like DXC technology and the investments that have been made in not only strengthening programs of study, but ensuring jobs for students upon completion. If you look at some of the additional infrastructure and cloud computing and the partnerships we have with IBM, I think that's a direct correlation to understanding the region we serve, understanding the value proposition of what we offer as an institution, but most importantly, ensuring that the engagement with our business and industry partners does not happen after completion, but during the education process. And that's something we do very well. It's something we've done extremely well in nursing and health sciences. It's something we do in our very well in our business program. There's a lot of graduates of our EMBA program. I know I've received a lot of feedback from graduates recently upon my appointment, just talking about the impact that program has had, allowing them to work and continue their journey.
And actually, yesterday I went through the list of your programs and your areas of study. I mean, the breadth and depth of it, I was surprised at how diverse it is. I mean, because I think, you know, and I interact with a lot of folks, taught at Tulane for a number of years, didn't realize just how broad the educational opportunity was at Southeast. And I would suspect that a lot of other people don't either.
No, they don't. And, you know, so when you look at what Southeastern is known for, you know, quality nursing programs, you know, Southeastern has done an incredible job. I benefited from it firsthand through my children's education in the public schools on the North Shore by providing educators and high quality educators. You know, we also have a lab school on our campus at Southeastern. And then you look at our programs, for example, like criminal justice and the impact that's had in preparing all of our law enforcement, legal professionals throughout the greater North Shore region. Like, as you mentioned, there is a plethora of opportunity, especially when you look at arts and humanities specific to some of the new and emerging technologies within our fields. There's a place for everyone here, and there's an opportunity, and we pride ourselves on ensuring that our graduates are certainly successful upon completion, but by ensuring that they understand where they are and that we understand what they're looking for in our mission, and that we can deliver that to ensure their success. And so many of them have family that are alum of the university and have had incredible experiences. So that network is extremely important. We have a robust alumni network here at the university that we're very grateful for.
You mentioned something earlier about this transferability from the technical college to a four-year college. It seems to me that for a number of years, I know it's better now, that we've really struggled with that here in Louisiana, unlike some other states. Is there a reason why?
Yeah, I can tell you that it's certainly much better now. I think that the Louisiana Board of Regents and all of our university and community college system partners have spent a lot of time ensuring the appropriate course matrix to ensure transferability. When I was at North Shore Technical Community College just last year, we actually not only transferred a lot of student credit within state, we transferred credit to UNC Chapel Hill. So I think for a student, so I believe that we've certainly come a long way. One of our greatest challenges, I feel, with transfer is that in many cases, it's not there's a lack of intentionality. While taking general education coursework to eventually transfer to a four-year is very important, many of our community colleges are embedding industry-based certification along the way to begin to test the students' interest and experience, for example, industry-based certifications in occupational safety. And if that is something that you seek for a long-term goal, then you have an incredible opportunity at Southeastern through our Industrial Technology Division to continue that towards a bachelor's degree or even to go into pre-engineering. We need to be sector-focused. As our students are entering our institutions, ensuring that they understand the industry sector and the dynamics and the many opportunities. I don't know about you, but I can say when I was approaching going to school, there was no community college at the time, and I spent a lot of time exploring, and I did not have the opportunity to have a diverse array of jobs and dynamic employment market. It was the jobs were just very narrow choices, and now there's so many options. We need to ensure our students are not, lost in that there are so many options and that we can drill down. And by knowing our students, we can do that very easily.
Yeah, I was one of those. I went to UNO part-time at night, 11 years while working. Some of the same experiences. But what really, I think, helped me along the way, and I hear this about Southeastern religiously, going back to when I started college in 1977, was the interaction and the ability to interact with the educational staff, with the teachers, with the professors, where students would have their cell phone numbers, not at that time, but more recently, but were always available to sit down and work with the kids. I know a ton of nurses that have gone through nursing programs at Southeastern, and not a bad word, an ill word ever. Actually, they all thoroughly enjoyed the experience there. And I think that goes to that value proposition challenge that higher ed is having today, right? Is transferability, ease of administration, able to move across multiple discipline silos, so to speak, because it's kind of how the Gen Y and the Gen Zers are today. They like to experience multiple things, right?
They do, and they like to communicate through many means. And so, as we're looking at social media platforms to better outreach, I think that that's certainly been a critical component in the success of building those relationships between staff and faculty and feeling at home. I think it's important. Southeastern is a safe campus. I think that's very important to our families. And so we pride ourselves and we work continuously to ensure, the continued environment. It's a beautiful campus. And when you factor in, all of the opportunities through athletics, through our student organizations, we know that direct student engagement leads to student success and completion. And so when you look at large array of athletic engagement opportunities, whether as an athlete or as a participant and supporter, or you look at our student organizations, you know, Greek Life, I think that there are plenty of opportunities for individuals to engage deep within the mission and really build that infrastructure for their success after graduation.
We're visiting with Dr. William S. Wainwright, the new university president at Southeastern Louisiana. A lot of folks don't realize that Southeastern, I think y'all field 12, 13, 14 Division I sports teams. Is that correct? My memory serves.
Yes, and yes, and continuing to build and grow our programs and support our athletes.
And have been very successful here recently in a number of sports as well, if that's kind of what tickles your fancy. Doc, let me ask you this. What is your biggest challenge?
Yeah, I would say that one of our challenges, just like all of higher education, is continuing to, you know, as Wayne Gretzky quoted, skate to where the puck is headed, and making sure that we're anticipating the needs of our students, the needs of our constituents, our external stakeholders who support our institution. That's critically important for enrollment growth and success. As we continue to grow enrollment, it's important that we continue our efforts to engage with high schools through dual enrollment and early college completion. Southeastern's done a phenomenal job of that in the past, and I think that will be a huge asset to our continued enrollment growth. We are also positioned on one of the fastest growing regions in the state of Louisiana, and I think through collaborations with economic development, chambers of commerce, industry councils, and our public school system, that we're poised to certainly grow long term. But I would say enrollment growth and ensuring that the enrollment growth and stability of such is something that would remain a front and center as a leader of higher education, particularly our continued growth at Southeastern.
You know, I understand that there's always this kind of political tug of war with financing of the UL system versus LSU main campus. And I've asked almost every gubernatorial candidate this question as to why we don't have the state legislature and others get out of the business of LSU main campus, let them run it. It is big. It has a lot of amenities, a lot of different things, and take TOPS and have the UL system be able to leverage that to a greater extent. Because I don't know the exact breakdown numbers here over the last 2 years, but I know before that it was very disproportionately leaning towards LSU Baton Rouge. And it seemed to me that the UL system was kind of sitting on the sidelines watching this play out. Your thoughts?
Well, if you also couple the impacts of COVID and during the time of COVID due to access, the lifting of admissions, and then of just recent the reinstatement of admissions, I think that admission standards, I think that you're going to begin to see that turn from what it was just a few short years ago. You know, as institutions of higher education, TOPS is extremely important to the success of our students, and we're very fortunate in many cases to have, you know, endowed scholarships at our institutions that also are extremely beneficial to ensuring the access and success of our students. You know, we have opportunities for institutional aid where applicable, and we have a lot of dedicated resources depending upon certain programs and qualifications. So I think that holistically you're going to begin to see that turn as with the reinstatement of admission standards and as our institutions are responding accordingly.
Dr. William S. Wainwright, congratulations on your new position. If there's ever a topic that you want to talk about, reach out to us. I love your university there. There's so many folks that I've talked to love it as well. And we appreciate all the hard work that you guys do. Thank you for joining us.
Outstanding. Thank you for reaching out to the Lion Nation today, and line up.
All right. That's Dr. William S. Wainwright, the new Southeastern Louisiana University president. He started, his tenure started yesterday. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Today's the 79th anniversary of the World War II invasion on Normandy, otherwise known as the D-Day invasion. Did you know nearly 160,000 Allied troops landed in Normandy on June 6, 1944? 73,000 were from the U.S., 83,000 from Britain and Canada, and they had forces from several other countries, including French troops with General Charles de Gaulle, that were fighting against the Nazi occupation. They were facing about 50,000 Germans, but they wanted on the tops of the cliffs, and we were on the bottom of the cliffs, and it was not a pretty happenstance. Gutsy, just unbelievable. The young men, young women working in the medical corps and in other disciplines throughout the military, making a difference for us. And oftentimes think about what this world would be like had they not stepped up, answered the call, risked their life, made the ultimate sacrifice day in and day out. There were so many things about D-Day that were just harrowing, completely, totally harrowing, in order to overcome, although they outnumbered them, but they did not have the advantage at that point in time. So we remember them today on D-Day. Remember them, say a prayer. Or just a moment of silence for the men and women that sacrificed their lives and the men and women that came back, whose life was impacted forever. Had the opportunity of meeting many folks that participated in the D-Day invasion. They didn't talk about it much. It was interesting. It continues to be interesting in that regard. All right. Folks, I hope you enjoyed the interview with Dr. William S. Wainwright. I did. Obviously, he brings a lot of energy to the job. There's been some turnover in a number of universities in the state of Louisiana relative to its leadership, and it's always good to have someone that's kind of homegrown here. He went to ULL, that's important that we keep our quality folks from here, leading our universities and teaching the next generation of kids that are coming through as they hope to get out of college and find a job, and hopefully they're able to stay here because we increase the likelihood of them doing so if they can experience success here. And that's what I love about these universities. On the text line, my two nieces are already in a sorority and run track at Southeastern. They love it. My other niece just graduated from Haynes and is going next year. And I'm sure they are very much looking forward to that. And congratulations to each and every one of those right there in Hammond. I'll be there actually tomorrow, broadcasting live from Primary Care Plus. And we'll be talking to some of the local folks there in Hammond as well. So, folks, we hadn't heard as much about what's going on at the southern border, and it's kind of interesting. It's still happening. There's still challenges. There are numbers still coming across. There are new estimates that it could be, since the Biden administration came into office, that we are around 6 million that have come into this country. And there's been a lot of deflection, denial, smoke screens put up about these numbers. A lot of this information is coming out from DHS, that probably not in an official manner, but in an unofficial manner, because they're sick and tired of the approach of this administration and the lack of support that they're getting at the border. The mayor in, you know, that sanctuary city, New York City, has said that this is not sustainable. They have 72,000 illegal immigrants that have been brought to the city. This is a city that is millions of inhabitants. 72,000 is not sustainable with the inflow that they're receiving. Adams is speaking in desperation. He said the mayor, he said the city will work to find a way to get around government rules and otherwise in order to accommodate this. This is what is absolutely amazing to me, is that we wouldn't do this for our own citizens. We would not have the asterisk next to these laws that are passed. In fact, we pass these laws to restrict the ability for property owners to succeed because of the intrusion on other property owners' rights. But when it comes to this, that goes right out of the window. Right out of the window. So we're housing individuals now in areas that no one else would ever be allowed to house individuals. And in many cases, even in times of emergencies here, where we are, our citizens are impacted here, we wouldn't be allowed to house individuals there. Does that make any sense to you? So they've now moved from gymnasiums, schools, to faith-based locations over the summer. And they're housing there in the faith-based community. And they're paying big money, hundreds of dollars a day to house these individuals. They're going to spend somewhere between $4.2 and $4.3 billion. That they intend to put in the pockets of everyday houses of worship, and instead of putting it in the pockets of corporations, there you go. Now that it all is making sense. Those filthy, rotten, greedy corporations that provide nothing for us. This is the dialogue always, right? And so we're moving them into private homes and churches now. And that's the new strategy. So they have, they're housing single migrant men in 50 churches, mosques, and other houses of worship across the five boroughs. They're trying to work out the private home deal, but there's a 30-day rule prohibition in New York City. You can't rent to somebody for fewer than 30 days. Kind of like the Airbnb restrictions that everyone has, because they're trying to make sure that they're not ruining the quality of the community or anything else. And a lot of citizens are standing up and saying, they don't want this. What are you doing? We don't know who these people are. They're smoking weed. They're stealing our property. They're trashing the facilities that they moved into, the hotels and otherwise. Total disregard for the laws here. They're walking into the local convenience stores and stealing away. And this all makes sense. We will do for this population that we won't do for ourselves. Makes perfect sense to me. Give us a call, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Harbor Talk and Text Line. Stay with us, folks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
There's an interesting article about a University of Cincinnati student that claims her professor failed her project because she used the term biological woman. The student says that this is the most biased grade that she's ever received because the project that she submitted was actually about transgender individuals competing in biological women's sports. And she simply asked the question, how can I write a paper and have a project about that if I'm trying to draw a distinction and I can't mention biological woman? The student provided the grade sheet by the professor grade 0, 20 points possible, no points assigned for this project, and the comments are, the student's name is Olivia Krolchik. Olivia, this is a solid proposal. However, the terms biological women are exclusionary and are not allowed in this course. As they further, you're going to love this, reinforce heteronormativity. So now it's a problem to be hetero. If you're hetero, I guess you're privileged or you're something. I'm not sure what you are, but there's going to be bias against you if you're hetero. And now that's a nasty word. The student goes on to say that it was a good project. She says, I fulfilled everything that the teacher asked me to do. The directions for the assignment in which I received a 0 on specifically state this exercise is developmental. Thoughtful proposal submitted on time will receive full credit. I turned in my assignment on time and I can guarantee 100% that my proposal was extremely thoughtful. Well, you can see that from the comments of the professor. This is the classic example of indoctrination, right? this professor is of an ideological bent, the student ideology and thought process does not align with this professor, and as a result, the professor takes it out on the student. The student reached out to the university's gender equality office, which is where she would have to appeal this grade, which told her it would have a different professor review and grade her work. 2 weeks later, she is yet to hear from them or yet to see whether or not her grade has changed. Now, interestingly, she provides something else. She made a comment during class on another subject where the teacher kept generalizing that all white men have privilege, and she simply said, "I don't think that that's a fair characterization." She commented that something along the lines of it being necessary and important to recognize privilege and oppression. And if you don't do so in a generalized way, where all white males are bad people, they're oppressors, they should be punished. She was docked on that grade as well. Standing up for free speech in education, she says, is important. Conforming to the professor's ideology is not. And stating simple biology that there are two sexes, we're going to be punished for? We'll be right back. Welcome back, folks. In the 12 o'clock hour, we're going to visit with Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. Ron has put together and conducted a survey of folks living in Jefferson Parish as to the quality of life. This was funded by the Jefferson Parish Business and Economic Groups, and we'll also be joined by the chairman of the Jefferson Business Council, Philip Rebo, to discuss the findings there. And coming up after the top of the news break, we'll visit with Aaron Jordan, the Greater New Orleans East Business Alliance. We'll talk about a workshop program, a youth entrepreneur workshop program that they're hosting here in the East. We'll talk about that and what they hope to accomplish there as well. So stay with us. We will be right back after the top of the news break. This is Newell on WWO.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.